Well, I enjoyed that special young people sang tonight. That was a real blessing. You know, as we sang these hymns, could you just tell that these writers of these hymns, they went through, they had experiences like we have, but found that God was there. God is there. He is our refuge. He's the one that strengthens us in time of need. How often we've had to call upon him and just cry out for help. Well, we're going to see that a little bit in our study tonight as well. Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. And as we find it, let's go ahead and stand as I read this portion of Scripture. And then we'll have a word of prayer. Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for just the opportunity to fellowship together, the opportunity to be with those of like precious faith, realizing that we're in your presence, and we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, it's not man's wisdom we seek, but it's your wisdom for us. Your words of comfort, your words of courage. And Lord, how we thank you for the service already, the music, a message and song. And Lord, I pray that you would be with these lips and that I might be able to preach your word in the power of the Spirit of God, and that he might have free reign in each of our lives tonight, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we began looking at the names of God, and we know that there is but one God. This one God exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, we might not be able to explain that clearly, but that's what God's word declares, and we believe it because God's word is truth. But God has chosen to reveal himself to his children through his names. And the names really are a picture, or a character, shows the character of God as he relates to his children. And the character we're going to see tonight, Elroy, is, I think, very very important for us to see what God has for us, and that God sees every trial that we go through. Do you ever feel like you're all alone? Do you ever feel like nobody cares? Well, we have a God in heaven who cares. This morning we looked at Elohim, speaking of the God who is the strong one, the God who has made promises to us, and the God who is capable to fulfill those promises because of who he is. And I hope that was an encouragement to you, and I trust that tonight as well, as we look at El Roy, the God who sees. Now, we're very familiar with the portion of scripture that we're going to look at. God has promised to Abraham an heir. We saw that this morning in our study. And after God made that promise the first time to Abraham, Abraham left his family in Ur of the Chaldees, and he goes to the promised land, Canaan, that God had directed him to. But God had promised that he was going to bless through his lineage, through his son. And 10 years later now, they still do not have a child, and Sarah is still barren. And so she does what many people did in that day. And just because it was practiced doesn't mean that it was right in the sight of God. And in fact, every time we see in Scripture where man does his own thing, he gets in trouble. And we find that the trials that go on in families because a man may marry, would marry more than one wife, and the struggles that cause, every place in Scripture where we see that happening, it caused problems. It caused trials. And that's the same in our text today. When Hagar realized that she was with child, she forgot her position. She forgot that she was the servant of Sarah. And so what does she do? She looked down on her, you know, as if because she was able to bear a child, and she looked down on Sarah. But it's interesting to me. What does Sarah do when she sees what's going on, when she sees the attitude of Hagar? She goes to her husband, and who does she blame? Anybody? She blames him. She blames him. When you come right down to it, look at verse 5. And Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom." And when she saw that she had conceived, "I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee." And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Sarai is blaming Abram for the situation. Well, whose idea was it to begin with? It was Sarai's. And because her maid looked down on her, she dealt harshly with the maid. And that's where we pick up in our text tonight, as the maid flees from the presence of Sarai. And I'd like to read, beginning in verse 7, we'll read down through verse 14. Because this is really the part of the scripture that I want us to catch tonight. "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go?' And she said, 'I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai.' And the angel of the Lord said unto her, 'Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands.' And the angel of the Lord said unto her, 'I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude.' And the angel of the Lord said unto her, 'Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren.' And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, 'Thou God seest me.' For she said, 'Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?' Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi, because it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram." And so here we find the maid fleeing from the wrath of her mistress. But God is going to reveal to her that she had a responsibility. You cannot flee from responsibility. And that really is a message for us as well. When God, have you ever been in a situation where you found out, this is tough. This isn't easy. Maybe a situation at work and the responsibilities are great. Well, Hagar was in a situation. She was the maid of Sarai, who would later be called Sarah. But she didn't like the situation at this time because of the pressures put on by her mistress. And so she seeks to flee from that. And God asked her a question down in verse 8. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, kind of reminding her of her position. Whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress. Now I would submit to you that God knew all about what was going on. He, as he's asking these questions of Hagar, it's not because he didn't know, but he wants Hagar to recognize the situation. You are Sarah's maid. You're fleeing from her presence. And where are you going? And so the questions asked were important questions for Hagar to recognize. I still have a responsibility. I'm still the maid for Sarah. And he wanted Hagar, just as he wants us, to know that we cannot flee from responsibilities. It's important for us to accept the responsibility God gives us and then fulfill those responsibilities. When you think about Hagar, she was fleeing from a spiritual environment, not perfect. There's not a perfect situation, never has been. But she was fleeing from the presence of a family where God was believed, where God was the God of Abraham, where Abraham believed God. And she was fleeing from this situation to really an uncertain future. It's believed by some that Hagar was seeking to flee back to Egypt. I don't know that. I tried to look up these references and where they were on the map, and I couldn't see it. But many Bible commentaries would say that she was probably trying to flee back to Egypt. You know, what would that get her? Leaving the presence of a family where God was there and fleeing to Egypt where they worshiped all kinds of false gods. And so it's a reminder to us sometimes when we try to flee pressure, we put ourselves in worse situations and situations that we're not able to handle. It's very important for each of us to make sure that we're in the place where God wants us, that we're right there where God wants us. Well, let's see God's promise to Hagar in verse 10 and 11. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. A promise of God. He says here, the Lord hath seen, or hath heard thy affliction. The word Ishmael means God hears. And I think that's very significant in this situation because here Hagar, she's fleeing. She's probably thinking, nobody cares. Sarah, they don't care how Sarah's treating me. Abraham didn't stick up for me. And so she's probably feeling all alone. Have you ever felt that yourself? Feel all alone. Nobody cares. You know, we feel sorry for ourselves. It's kind of like we're playing the violin, We're just feeling sorry for ourselves. But, you know, someone cares. Someone cares. God cares what goes on in our life, and there's a lot of other people that care as well. But we need to remember that God is the one who hears. But can you imagine the thoughts of Hagar? The Egyptians had worshipped many false gods. And I'm sure that as she grew up, she was probably praying to a lot of these false gods, the ones that could not hear, the ones that could not see, the ones that could not respond, could not speak to her. And here she meets God, who not only hears what her complaint, hears the situation, but he sees what's going on in her life. And so now Hagar is speaking directly to the angel of the Lord. I believe this was none other than pre-incarnation appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ as he's speaking to her. And she obviously believes that she is speaking to God. She says, "Have I also looked after him that seeth me?" You can just imagine her thoughts. Her pagan gods weren't really interested in her. They had done nothing for her. But here was a God that was speaking to her. A woman in that day, speaking to a slave, a servant. And I'm sure she could probably think, well, you know, I could understand why God would want to talk to Abraham because he was an important person, but she was a nobody. Listen, folks, the wonderful thing is God cares about each of us nobodies. And I'm a nobody, but in the presence of God, God sees me. God hears my cry, and he hears yours as well. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou God seest me." For she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" This is the name for God that we're looking at tonight, El Roy, the God who sees. The God who sees. What did he see? He saw her complaint. He saw the issue that was going on. He saw her inner distress. He saw what she was experiencing. He saw the hostility of Sarah toward her. And she felt all alone, but she was not all alone because God was watching over. The Lord God watches over us. She may have wondered, did anyone care? But God cared. Listen, folks, when you feel like you're all alone and nobody cares and nobody's seeing what's going on in your life, God is seeing because God cares. Remember to recognize the fact that God is watching over us. He has declared to us, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's there with us. This is the only place we see the name El Roy used, but this characteristic of God is seen all the way throughout Scripture. I'm going to look at just a couple other references. Turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31, another passage we're very familiar with. In fact, we mentioned this passage this morning. We didn't look at the text, but we mentioned a situation that was taking place. But here we find Jacob, and he's talking to Laban, his father-in-law. And he's kind of, he had spent 20 years in the presence of his father-in-law. 14 years he was laboring for he was laboring for Rachel, first of all, for 7 years. And then we mentioned this morning how that he found out he was tricked and married her sister instead. So 14 years he labored for these two women, and 6 more years he labored for cattle. And now he wants to go back home, but he's afraid that because Laban was very powerful, and he was afraid for his life. And He was afraid that Laban would take everything for him. And so he's reminding Laban of his God, of the God who sees. Notice verse 38. We're going to read verse 38 and through verse 40. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beast I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand thou didst require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Notice verse 42. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God hath seen mine affliction and the labors of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight. God has seen. Folks, God sees. He sees what's going on when his children are being pressured, when we face persecution. God sees. God watches over. He is the watcher over those that are his children. There is no child of God that undergoes any kind of abuse in this world but what God is seeing and God is watching over. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me to recognize he sees me. It doesn't really matter what others may do to me. God's watching over. He's the one that blesses us finally in the end anyway. There's a third area in the third chapter of Exodus. Let's turn there. Exodus chapter 3. And here is a conversation between God and Moses. Another passage that we're very familiar with, Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, into a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Well, God is saying here that he saw his people down there in Egypt. I'm sure Moses, as he looked back at his life, the first 40 years of his life, he was being raised in the house of Pharaoh. And yet he looked out at the Israelites and how they were being mistreated. And remember, he took it into his own hands one time to strike down one of the taskmasters and killed him, trying to protect one of the Israelites. And so Moses had to flee. But I can imagine as he's out there in the wilderness tending sheep for the next 40 years, I'm sure his thoughts keep returning back to the Israelites back there in Egypt. And he's wondering, you know, doesn't God see what's going on? Doesn't God see the pressures they're under, that they're crying out and the burden on them is too great? And so Moses, as he's thinking about this in his heart, he's recognizing that, boy, these people, they've been there 400 years. And they're still being persecuted. Doesn't God care? Have you ever wondered that yourself? Look at the United States of America. Look at some of the things that are going on here in the United States of America, a country that at one time was founded on biblical principles, and it's hard to find those principles in government today. Hard to find them even in churches today. There are so many that have turned away from following after God. And we might think, why God? How can you put up with all of this? Won't you come back? I'm looking for the Lord to return, by the way. I expect it'll be in my lifetime. Might not be. We don't have that knowledge of when he'll come, but I know he's coming, and he's going to take me home to be with him, whether it be through death or whether it be through the rapture. Rather it be through the rapture, but it might not be. But you see, God sees. He saw his children down there in Egypt, and they were there, first of all, because they turned their back on God. And over and over and over again, we see the Israelites practicing, worshiping the false gods of Egypt. And later, as they come into the promised land, they're worshiping the false gods of their neighbors there in the land of Canaan. And so God allows them to spend those 400 years. But God saw what was going on. And in those 400 years, we might look at it and think, or I'm sure Moses looked at it and thought, well, you know, doesn't God care? But what happened to the Israelites in those 400 years? When they first went into the promised land, they were very few in number. These sons were there with their mates and children, but that group of Israelites began to grow and grow. And so when they finally left Egypt, there were millions of the Israelites that came out of Egypt, and God had protected. They were in that protective hand. Yes, sometimes very strict, sometimes very cruel, but they grew in that experience. Folks, God is the God who sees. He's still watching over us today. We could look at, we're not going to take the time tonight for time, but you look at the letters that were written to the churches there in Revelation, and you see that God sees. God knew what was going on in every one of those churches. He saw the things that were good that they were doing that was right, and he praised them for those, but he reminded them there were areas in their life that wasn't right. He said, for example, to the church at Ephesus, a lot of good things they were doing, but they had left their first love. And so God reminds them to repent and get back to where they had been. Folks, God sees. He sees us today. He sees what's going on in our life. He is a God that's not way off, not interested in what's going on. He saw a slave girl. He was concerned about her. He was willing to meet her need. He promised her a blessing of having a son. He saw the children, his children down there in Egypt being persecuted. And he saw, and he's the one that comforts. Folks, God saw, and he sees us when we get off from following him as well. I think of David, a man greatly used by God, a man after God's own heart. Yet God saw David when he stole the wife of another man and had that man killed so that he could have her for himself. God saw. And David was miserable through all that time until he finally got right with God and asked God's forgiveness. God sees us, folks. Sometimes it's a blessing, knowing that he sees us, the trials we're facing. Sometimes it's scary when we realize my life isn't right now. I need to get it right before him because God sees. Where are you before him tonight? God loves you. He's watching over you. He's watching over me. And we can rest in that fact that God is the God who sees. And he hears what's going on. And he promises that he's going to watch over us. I trust that you'll look to this God who sees. That you'll praise him for his faithfulness in ministering to you. Let's close our service tonight in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we know that you see us in our struggles. And in this lifetime, we face all kinds of trials. We don't always have the answers. And sometimes we struggle with knowing what to do. But you are the God that sees us. And just as you saw this servant girl that we looked at way back in Genesis, just as you saw Jacob as he was being, treated harshly and unfairly by his father-in-law, Laban, and just as you saw the Israelites as they were down there in Egypt being made slaves, but you saw them and you brought them out of Egypt and you promised them a land where they could live, where they could have the riches of that land. And just as that was true of each of them, how I thank you that you see each and every one of us. You see the trials we face. You see the testings, and you allow those testings for our good. You see when we fall short. But in your mercy, you give us opportunity to come and confess and be restored into fellowship with you. And Lord, how we thank you for that. Ask your blessing on each one of us. Challenge us that this week we would be found faithful serving you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.